This morning I want to kick off just with a little bit of a new series on Believe Again. And it was kind of, it should be just believe, right? But I don't know about you, but I've found the last couple of years a little bit tricky, a little bit hard. Has anyone else found that? A little bit going, oh man, what's going down? And, you know, I probably, this is your pastor's confession morning, are you ready for that? You know, we sometimes like we lower our expectations around God to meet our, well, it's probably so we don't get disappointed. And you go, come on, God, what's going on? And it's almost like depleted faith. And I think that faith leaks, right? That faith is a little bit, man, where's it going? And I was, to be honest, it was actually, I was with Paul and Ruth and Priscilla. We went to see that Jesus Revolution movie a few months ago. And it was just one of those little God spark moments where I felt God said, come on, Glenn, wake up and, you know, get some faith back on you. And so so that's what we're doing over the next month. And so what I want to do is preach to you over the next month and stir a little bit of faith in you. Stir a little bit of faith in me would be a good start. So who's ready for that?
Come on.
Come on. This is where we're heading. And when we look at our church, we've got these like four key planks, which are belong, believe, build, and beyond. So the four things which we're tracking on. So the first thing is belong, is that you're welcome, no matter where you come from, no matter your background, just come in. There's the welcoming thing. Believe. And then build and beyond. And when I look at what I've written around belief right from the beginning, I like this. And it says, we are believers. Come on.
Yeah.
We're not the believers, the Justin Bieber followers, but we are the believers. We are people of faith. Come on.
Come on.
We believe in the power of God to change lives. We believe that prayer actually works, that miracles happen, and God is interested in our personal world. We believe and pursue the power of the Holy Spirit. We say yes to God. God, if we could just get that in our spirits this morning, we'll probably be doing all right, eh?
Yeah.
Come on. And so over the next few weeks, what we're going to be doing is speaking into that. Because I think that faith rises in an atmosphere of faith. And my heart is that in this church, in this place, on the Sunday morning, that we would create an atmosphere of faith. That we create a place of expectation. That when we come into this place, that we would believe again. And that belief thing would encourage us. And so this week I'm going to do Believe Again. Where does faith come from? Then next week Graham Dixon is going to be preaching. Then I'm going to talk about Believe, the voice of faith. What does actually faith sound like? And then Believe, the faith that doesn't disappoint. That's an important one. Who's been disappointed sometimes? We're going to look at that. And then on the last week, I've got my dad coming to preach, and that's going to be good. So, you know, we'll get that, you know, the good stuff. So, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what do we need to please God?
Faith.
Come on. So we need a little bit of faith to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must what?
Believe.
Come on, we must believe that he exists, based here. We must believe that God is real, that he exists, that he's alive, that he's well, and that he rewards those who
earnestly seek him.
So what is it? Is it casual acquaintance? If I feel like it, if it happens, it happens, case sera, sera, whatever it will be, or is it earnestly seek him?
Yeah.
Come on, and then there's encouragement that we would earnestly seek God. He's a rewarder, he's a good God. But it requires some work. Who likes work? Sorry, people. It requires a little bit of engagement, a little bit of stirring. There's a wrestle of faith. With Paul, the Apostle Paul, he writes to Timothy, who's looking after this church. He's a young dude. And he says to him, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. And there's this wrestle. There's the fighting, the good fight of faith. Not the bad fight. The good fight. And this morning, like, I don't have all the answers this morning around faith. And, you know, to be honest, I thought I'd have a better grasp on it by now. And because I've been doing it a little while. And actually, when I look through, I've actually preached a few sermons on faith. But still, I think with this faith thing, it still lives in a bit of mystery, right?
Yes.
It's still a little bit of, and so I'm really conscious. I don't want to give you, you know, three quick points to faith in Jesus' name this morning. I don't want to give you that this morning, but I more this morning that you would capture the heart, that you capture the spirit of faith, and that faith would grow within us this morning. And the rest of that. See, because I'm challenged, and I'm convinced that there's a little bit more faith to be had, and that the kingdom of God is connected to us operating in a little bit more faith.
Yeah.
He's keen for that?
Yes.
No condemnation, no pull up your socks, do better. But come on, a little bit of, come on, let's step into faith, believe God for the good things. We are people of faith and a fresh injection of faith. So where does faith come from? Point number one, the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so you're winning this morning because you're sitting under the Word of God this morning. Hopefully, you're hearing something of the Word of God. And there's this connection between hearing the Word of God and faith igniting within us. You know, when you're reading the Bible and you're going through and there's those aha moments, and you're reading through, you go, ah, God, that's it. That's the connection. And there's something which ignites and comes alive in your spirit. You know, sometimes you can be reading blah, 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 and then suddenly, that's it. And when we come into the presence of God and talk to Him, there's those God moments. See, faith is not just like positive thinking. You know, if I just, you know, be a bit more positive, or if I just get a little bit hyped up, if I just sing a little bit louder. But no, there's this God ignition which happens. It's conceived in the Spirit, birthed in the Spirit. See, it may look like a positive attitude and manifest itself as a positive attitude, but it starts as a supernatural God-conceived thing. It's not conjured up by positive thinking. You know, Christian faith is not having a vision board of on your fridge with a picture of your Maserati and your holiday in the Bahamas or whatever, and that you focus on each day and you're wanting the universe to manifest to you. That is not faith. Okay? But let me tell you, there is some power in that, because on what you focus on, you move towards. But Christian faith is not hype. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So we need to get the Word of God. And I am helping you this morning because I care for you. I have given the top 10 faith scriptures. So I'm handing you out this morning some faith scriptures. We're going to hand those out that way. That's my book. Hand those out this way. And what I've put together is just, these aren't all the faith scriptures in the Bible, there are heaps of them, but these are 10 I like. And I thought that's a good start.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is just get the Word of God in you. What does God say about you this morning? I love this, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that He began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. The good work which God has started within you, He's going to carry it on. Come on. Goodness of God. I want you to take those and just get them in your spirit. Just begin to read them. The second thing I've got here, where faith comes from. Faith comes from shared stories. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, the power and the wonders He has done. And how good is it when you hear good stories of faith?
Yeah.
When you hear different things, what's just happening? I was having coffee with someone the other week, and they're a little bit, what's the word? Not depressed, but just... And I began to tell them some of the stories of what God was doing in our church. And they're going, oh, I didn't realize that was happening, and that person had this encounter. And I suddenly realized, I'm as a pastor, I'm not telling the stories. I get to hear the stories. But we've got to make sure that we pass on some of those stories and tell the stories of what God is doing. See, and realize that God is well, that He is alive, and that He is still operating. It triggers faith. Because we go, if that can happen for that person, that possibly can happen for me. The Jesus Revolution movie, it triggered faith. And I was like, do it again, Lord. Come on, God. You know? Not just in the 70s. It's like, come on. Well, when there's a little bit in after the movie, I was kind of Googling YouTube, and there was this little moment with Greg Laurie, who's the main character in the movie. You've got to go see the movie. This is Glenn's instruction for you all. And Greg Laurie, who's saw this amazing move of God in California, and then it spread out across the world. And he just, this little phrase he just says, that was 50 years ago. What if it's the year of Jubilee? And God wants to do it again. What if we're 50 years down the track and God wants to do it again? And that's, again, that little spark of faith just, oh, yeah, what if God wants to do it again? Because we always think, oh, you know, that's hard work, it's 2023, and God's bigger than that, isn't he?
Yeah.
God's a big God. He can do what he likes. If he wants to do something, I'm in. Let's hear the stories. Luke chapter 7. The story of the centurion, where Jesus says he's got great faith. But there's just this little line in there in verse 3. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And he had heard about Jesus. He's gone about his business, he's doing things, and he's heard these stories. Do you see what Jesus did? He fed all these 5,000 people, and then this crazy demonic guy got set free, and there was healing and everything like that. And the centurion's going, that would be helpful. That would be good. And he's got faith comes on him. And he even says to Jesus, oh, you know, don't bother about turning up. Just tell him to be healed and he'll be healed. And Jesus says, man, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. He's healed. Again, we need to get ourselves and just hear the stories of faith. You know, read some of the stories of faith, the books of faith. For you lot who no longer read books, find a decent YouTube channel, you know. Immerse yourself, because, you know, we have so much input, right, from all the stuff going into our brains, right? And most of the stuff from the world is like, it's okay, I'm not anti that stuff. But make sure there's enough of a diet of the good stories of God and what God is doing that will encourage us and build our faith and put us in that place. See what's going on in your spirit. Sometimes you need to protect your spirit. Less input from sources that drain faith. Point number 3, faith comes from being around people of faith. Dr. Paul Yomi Cho, who has a little church of about, I don't know, 500,000 or something like that in Korea. And he just crazy man of God. I think he's passed away now, actually. I'm not sure. Anyway, he said this. Faith rises in an atmosphere of faith.
Yeah.
Faith rises in an atmosphere. You know when you get around some people and they're excited about the things of God and they start talking about stuff and you go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, sounds good. Or you come into church and hopefully, I'm hoping and believing that when you come into church into this place, some people, there'll be encouragement. And there'll be, you know, you come into worship, yeah, come on, that's right, we believe in God. And we'd lift our hands and our faith would rise in this place, that would come alive, that the spirit within us would wake up. Would that be good?
Yeah.
Or we walk out of here just slightly more depressed. that was rubbish. No, come on. There would be those voices of life that would come in and say, come on, create an atmosphere of faith that we get with some people where anything can happen and speak life and faith. See, it's often not about the circumstances, but it's an attitude. You know, you can sit with people and talk with people who have been going through tough times and been smashed away, but somehow they've still got this, you know, they're still that attitude of faith, and they just speak hope and they speak goodness. Let's be those people. Let's be those people. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I know it's tough at the moment, but God's good. There's hope. There's purpose attached to it. You know, so encouraging, you know, when you speak to, you know, I came to church the other week in Toa, down the back there, I was talking to Toa, and it's encouraging when you turn up to church and there's people setting up the chairs and making things happen, and I'll thank you and honour you for that, Toa. But what really encouraged me was, Toa, tell me how you're going. And Toa's just been in the church a few months and got baptised the other night, and it was a beautiful, fantastic Sunday. But talking with Toa, he's just saying, hey Glenn, and he just tells me the goodness of God. You know, we got this house, and I'm expecting this, and God did this, and things like that. And do you know what? As a pastor, I was like, oh, that's right, God is doing stuff. God is on the throne.
Yeah.
And we need to tell those stories. You know, Jamie was talking to Jamie, I was thinking, come on, the stories of faith. The stories of faith, that God is alive and well. I had the privilege yesterday of, as many of you will remember, Adam, who's currently in prison, incarcerated. So I had the privilege of going visiting him in prison. So I was like, oh my goodness, yeah, in prison, here we go. But sitting and talking with him, you know, again, he did something dumb years ago before he got saved, but he's coming, he came to church, got saved, got water baptized, and he's got this faith thing which is rising up in him, and sitting down and talking to him, and he says, Glenn, tell the people that, you know, I'm alive, I'm in faith, I'm coming back when they let me out,
awesome.
you know, and come on, those stories, I mean, we need to encourage one another with the stories of faith. Church, we need to create an atmosphere of faith for others so that when others walk into this place that they'll be encouraged, that they'll be strengthened. And often it's just a word of encouragement, it's a word of life. You know, if you're on the door, if you're on doing coffee, if you're on worship, or on whatever you're doing, that would come in and say, I'm here this morning to inject faith, inject life into the place, that we carry that. Connect groups. Be a part of a connect group. You know, you find a place where you can sit with others, open the Word of God, chat around stuff, be encouraged. Find those places. Faith comes from a supernatural injection of faith. You know what? There's a gift of faith. There's a gift of faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 and 9, it talks about all the different gifts and all the supernatural gifts which God gives us. And it says to one, a gift, where is it? Find it here. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And there's times when we need a supernatural gift of faith for certain circumstances, right? You know, if you face stuff and you go, ah. But for a particular circumstances, it's something, to me, it's almost like a righteous indignation. I was going to say a righteous anger, but maybe it sits somewhere there. And there's times when things happen where faith needs to rise up within us and say, I'm not having that. I'm not allowing that. I know for Priscilla and myself, there's been a few situations where you go, oh, goodness, I know our little guy Finn, who is not a little guy anymore, he just turned 16 this week. He's staffing a cadets camp this weekend. And he's a big buffhead now, he's, you know. But this is Finn when he was born. That's a pen. He was like two lengths of a pen. He was born like 32 weeks premature. Not 32 weeks premature, he was born at 32 weeks. 2 months premature. and he was just like the little guy. He came way too early. And he was in hospital. And then the doctors keep coming and telling you all the things which are wrong with him. You know, okay, oh, he's got cerebral palsy. And I'm going, what the heck? And so we go, no, he doesn't. He's going to be sweet. And then they go, oh, he's deaf. You know, no, he doesn't. He's banging pots against his head. You know, not against his head, but around his head. You know, and there's moments where Priscilla was working like in the neonatal intensive care unit at the time, so she knew all the bips and bleeps and the machines and the worst case scenarios. So it's a good thing and a bad thing. But there's this thing of faith which rose up in us. We are not going to have it. He is going to be all right. God's with him. He's called of God. The Spirit of God is on him. There's a fight. There's a wrestle. And sometimes that indignation needs to rise up in us and position ourselves in faith. I remember another time in London. We were living in London, and Priscilla comes home, and she's been to the doctor, and they're diagnosed with the early onset of arthritis. And everything was starting to not work properly. Seize up. And again, this thing rose up. No, we're not having that. We're not having that. And for some reason, it just disappeared. After all these doctors were saying this, and this. And I don't say that in every situation. There's other times I've prayed like stink and called out in God and nothing's happened. So I don't want to, you know, I want to be honest with you. But there are times, there are times where faith needs to, where that special injection of faith which goes, come on, God. I'm standing for this. I'm believing for this. I'm positioning myself in this place of faith. See, we have faith for certain things. Like I've got faith for certain things. I've got faith for healing. I've got faith for houses. Because I've seen God move in and get houses. Pray for houses. Every house we've brought, it's been a supernatural God moment, which shouldn't have happened, but God moved. I do not have faith for cats. Every cat I've prayed for has died, so don't ask me to pray for your cat. but we have faith for different things, right?
Yeah.
See, faith grows in an atmosphere of faith, and when we see God move, we can do that. See, faith is future-focused. Faith sees the future and calls it into being. See, it's attached to hope, a positive belief. See, I read this the other week. Faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. It's a bit of a head wrap, but faith is believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. See, and I want to encourage you this morning, don't settle for less than what God has for you. See, faith is not cynical. Faith is an attitude. And faith is what God responds to. Unfortunately, God does not respond to whining, moaning, grumbling and complaining. Because otherwise we're going to see a lot more of God moving, I think. No, God responds to this positive confession of faith. Faith requires stepping out of the boat. And it's a decision. It's a decision. And it's accompanied by action. I remember when we were living in Christchurch and I was thinking of moving to London. And I don't know if it was a really God thing, but it was just this sense, next move, I'm gonna move to England. And so I sent my CV across to some people I knew over there, part of the Elam Church over there, because I was a youth pastor of the Elam Church in Christchurch. And I got the email, no, not email back, this is, I got a fax back, because those are the days. And it said, no opportunities, anything. And then I was kind of, okay. And so I resigned my job, and I said, I'm going to England, because I feel that what God wants to do. And I might just do an OE, or I might do Bible college, or I might, we'll get there and see what happens. I might just go 3 months, and it might collapse, and I'll come back. And then a couple of weeks, probably about 4 weeks before I left, I got another fax, through the fax machine, of this job offer from Kensington Temple, this crazy, this church of about 12,000 people in the middle of London. And it was like, yeah, looking after the youth and the kids' church and the creche and the 2:30 p.m. service. And it was like, But it was this God moment. But there's this decision to move. See, when we move, when we step into faith, we say, God, I don't know all the answers. See, faith is a weird thing because you're stepping into the zone where you go, I'm not sure how this all works, but I'm choosing to step into your purposes. And I think God moves on that. He backs it. So we need to position ourselves in faith. My question this morning, and we're going to develop this. We've got 4 more weeks for this, right?
Yeah.
So this is just like the intro. This is just like the... Come on, people. Stir a little bit. But I want to ask you to position yourself in faith over the next few weeks, right? What are you currently attempting for God? What are you currently expecting from God? What are you currently attempting from God? Or for God, what are you currently expecting from God? What are you believing God for? You know, let's not call ourselves Christians and act like atheists, right? You know, let's not call ourselves Christians and then, we'll just, turn up to church but not actually believe. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? What's that little wrestle at the moment within you? You don't know. And I know, faith is a little bit scary because it is. It's stepping out. Hey! What are you asking for? So again, I'm giving you homework this week. So if you turn on the other side of your scriptures... I am believing God for. Now that might be a little bit scary for you right now. For some of you go, okay, no, that's easy. I got this. This is what I'm believing God for. For others, what I'd love you to do is maybe this week just get in with God. Just say, God, you know, I don't want you to just make something up or write something because Glenn told you to, or, you know, but why don't you just spend that extra time, God? If I was to operate in faith, what would that look like? If I was to believe God, what? And don't start out with believing God for, I don't know, global peace or you know, something out there, or, you know, raising from the dead or anything. Just, the Bible talks about be unto you according to your faith. So whatever level of faith you're at the moment, just step into that. But if you were to believe God for something over the next 5 weeks, if you were to ask God and say, God, I'm positioning myself in a place of faith, what would that look like? Fight the good fight of faith. And then we turn up over the next few weeks just with a little bit more of faith. Even if it's just like minuscule. Even if it's just a tiny little bit more of faith. Just, oh, come on. And then we begin to tell the stories of what God is doing. How would that be? Come on. Let's just stand as we finish.